gentlemen, step it right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends! We're on the road!
You feel like letting the scream out like that? Well, just sit back and relax, because we are here to straighten things out for you. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, folks, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. That's right, folks, we're here to sort things out, as it were. And we're here live to do it on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And as such, we invite you to give us a call at 407-774-8255. The St. Pauli girl Ryan says that this healthcare bill is what good conservative healthcare looks like. You think so? Let me hear from you. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, and Wolverine Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me today, the man who dubbed me the Wolverine, John L. Casey, bona fide scientist and author, is in here with me today. Good to see you, John L.
Good to be back, and as a scientist, I can confirm you are a Wolverine on this radio, I tell you.
I like to shred liberal nonsense, right? All right, we got Nick LoCicero, the marathon man, on the bridge. 407-774-8255 once again is the number. And don't forget, you can always download the free WORL-FM-AM app into that smart device, that now we know CIA listening device. It is free. WORL-FM-AM app at your app store. Okay, we got a big show lined up for you again today. We'll probably work in some of the WikiLeaks stuff. And by the way, they say there's a whole lot more to come. That's what they released yesterday, is supposedly only 1% of what they've got yet to go.
So you've got to say this is a big, serious problem.
It is a big, serious problem. So we'll find time to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk once again about John L. Casey's newest book, the one he co-wrote, entitled Upheaval. And once again, we'll tell you how to get a discounted copy of the book. And it is about the consequences that typically happen during a cooling phase of this planet, which we are now entering into. And by the way, they're going to get a lot more cold weather before this winter is over yet still.
Yeah, we have predicted three more snow fronts, snow and cold fronts within the next 10 days hitting the northern U.S. In fact, it's going to get very cold in Atlanta and snow in the Carolinas.
How about that? All right, and we got some more people chiming in with him, warning of severe earthquakes, in particular, in this case, in California. So we're going to get to all that. Abe Katzman is going to be with us tonight here in just a few minutes. Abe normally comes to us on Monday evenings. We'll get him back on a regular rotation, but he had been traveling, and so he will be joining us live tonight, as I said, in a few minutes, and we've got a lot to talk to him about. And once again, we want to welcome you listeners who are listening to us on a delayed basis on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. We really do appreciate that. And if you choose to listen to us live during the day, we're here 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We come to you from Central Florida area, and you can visit us at am660theanswer.com, and you can hear all their broadcasts live at that website. Or if you want to listen to us, you can go to our website and hit the Listen Live button, and you'll get the stream from am660theanswer.com. So, and we invite you to participate as a caller, and we invite you to in the conversation, and we invite you to participate in our contests. And depending on how far away you are, we will cater the prize package so that it's worth your while to do so. And even though Mike McBass not here tonight, he's got to go down and head up the union meeting downtown at one of the saloons. And he'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be pulling off the contest. And Colonel Danny McKnight will be in to help us judge things. All right, all that's tomorrow. Let's get to tonight's business. For a change, what was driving the news today wasn't Trump's tweet about listening devices or surveillance or even the Russians collaborating with whoever. Today, the real interest, was all about the health care reforms that the Republicans are proposing. Let's go to the White House and get their take on this, okay? And what they are saying is that this is, quote-unquote, phase one of a three-phase process. So what they have done is they've come up with, if you will, a strategy on how to totally get rid of and overhaul Obamacare. And what the House put forward yesterday, they are calling that phase one, if you will, step one. And it is not meant to be the end all. It is only meant to be phase one. And they understand that it leaves a lot to be desired. But they do have a plan, a strategy. And it goes something like this. Phase one and phase two will be done as a budget reconciliation process. And what they're going to do, and Paula Girl Ryan, the speaker, has talked about this, they're going to do two quick budgets and do two budget reconciliation processes back to back, in essence. They're going to do a budget to finish out this year and then a budget for next year. And they can do that and only need 50 votes in the Senate, given the fact that the Republicans control the White House, and Mike Pence will throw the tie-breaking vote. So they actually only need, they can give up actually two Republican votes in the process, but they still need 50 votes. Maybe they could get a Democrat on the other side, who knows? They need 50 votes, but they don't need the 60 filibuster proof. Okay, so what they plan on doing is getting this package through this time. Next time, it would be more reforms of a similar nature, budgetary-type reforms. And then phase three, however, will not be able to be done during the budget reconciliation process. It will require, if you will, regular legislation, which will have to overcome the 60-vote filibuster barrier in the Senate. And in that bill will be things like tort reform and such things that are in Obamacare that wouldn't apply under a budget. Okay? I hope you're following me, and I hope I got it all right. But this is their idea of using the budget reconciliation process. Get what you can get now. Come back really quick in a matter of weeks. Get some more. And then fight for the rest. And it's going to take that 60-vote margin. So it would appear, unfortunately, that they didn't share the plan with the Republicans in the Senate. Or at least maybe they don't think it can happen because guys like Rand Paul want to go for it all right now. They say, let's just have a clean repeal Obamacare and then, in essence, start from scratch. And just to be realistically speaking, that's not going to happen. I wish it would. I really do wish it would. But it requires that 60-vote margin in the Senate. And that's not going to happen when the Republicans only have 52 votes. Now, yeah, I understand there's a lot of Democrats whose Senate seats are up for grabs here in 2018. And at least 10 of them are in states where Trump won and won significantly big. And their political desires and aspirations may coincide a little bit more. But that's a stretch. Should they go for it? Let the Senate work on that. I'm fine with that. As a matter of fact, let them pass a bill, whatever bill they want to pass, and then, of course, you'll have to have a conference to work out the two sides. But the bottom line is, if you think that the Senate is going to be able to produce 60 votes to totally repeal Obamacare, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, there can be some Senate maneuvering, perhaps, but even now we have a lot of weak-kneed Republicans out there who you can't be sure what they're going to do. And I'm not saying I'm satisfied with the bill there right now that's being proposed in the House. Obviously, it's very lacking. It does not have tort reform in it. It does leave in essences of Obamacare. But there is a certain amount of realism that if they do have a plan, that this is phase one, they're going to come right back with phase two and then work on the other phase. And if they don't get it, then concentrate on getting more Senate seats in 2018 where you can get that final phase three in there. I'm not sure which strategy is the best, but I do know this, that the phase strategy probably has much more possibility of passing. And that's just political reality, I believe. And so if you have confidence that Donald Trump wants to see, and what they're saying from the White House is Donald Trump wants a total repeal, a total replacement, and go back to market-driven forces in the insurance markets and take the government entirely out of it, then he's got a plan on doing that. And it's a piecemeal plan, if you want to call it that, a phased plan. This is, nonetheless, a big step in the right direction. It is changing the way people will buy insurance. They do away with the mandates. There is no employee mandate for businesses. There will be no individual mandate for people. But that is part of the problem, you see. Because they want to keep in it the you can't be turned down for pre-existing conditions. Well, here's the problem. If there's no mandate to buy insurance and people can't be turned down for pre-existing conditions, what's to stop anybody from not buying insurance as a financial plan? And then when he needs it, since he can't be turned down, at that point, he or she buys it. So there, that still has to be worked out. And that's a real problem. That pre-existing conditions thing is a real hurdle to get over, because it does mean that people, most likely healthy people, are not going to go out and buy insurance. They don't seem to be real motivated to buy it in the first place. But certainly that would take away the motivation. And it's and you can't really liken it to automobile insurance. You know, I think that everyone should have their own policy, that they should be dealing with the insurance company directly themselves as much as possible, but more importantly, dealing directly with the health providers. And that's where the health savings plans come into account. And the president wants those, and he wants them in as soon as possible in the process. Obama has created a royal mess, and part of the problem is he created an entitlement. And it's very difficult to pull that entitlement back once it's been granted. Which is why they should be granted only probably never.
Let me ask a question, Chris. Yeah. Isn't the Medicaid part of this one of the big hurdles that everyone's arguing over?
Medicaid is part of it, too, because Medicaid is in trouble. Medicaid has got like $50 trillion of unfunded obligations, namely people who are going to be going onto the Medicaid system because that money isn't there. It should be there. You think the $20 trillion debt that the government admits having is bad. The unfunded obligations of Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare are almost 10 times that.
No, it's scary.
It is. It's our unfunded obligations are somewhere between $150 and $200 trillion. Trillion with a T. And so we got big problems. And so they understand that. And once again, they're trying to do this, not everything all at once, but do it in phases. And it's kind of like, let's get what we can now, come back, get a little bit more next time, come back. And other than when Obama came to office, that's kind of the way the Democrats operated. But it's I'm just trying to explain what's going on here. Like I say, I don't necessarily know which is the best approach. I just know which is probably the more realistic approach. And that is, unfortunately, if you will, this approach right here.
Well, if you look at Obamacare, Chris, wasn't that just one big fell swoop plan dumped on everyone, and look what it's done? If they had phased things in like you're talking about now, we might have had a more acceptable system to everyone, because as each phase goes forward, you assess where you are, whether it's working or not. But instead, we were forced to eat the elephant in one bite.
And look what it cost the Democrats.
Yep.
All right. And the only way they could do it was with 60 votes in the Senate, if you remember, right?
Yep.
So we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. We got 52, and of those 52, we probably got 40 or 42 that are actually good, solid votes you can count on. And so it's at some point you have to face political reality. And we know what we want. We know where we want to get to. The problem is, how do you get there? And perhaps a step at a time is better than trying to take it all in one leap. We got somebody else who knows a lot about politics who's on the line with us. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Abe Katzman live, and we'll find out where he is tonight on the globe. So stay with the American Adversaries, please. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 eastbound holding steady. Osceola Parkway to 535 is slow. Heavy John Young Parkway up to 434 for about 40 minutes and then slow at the bridge. On the westbound side, back up start at Princeton Street to Michigan, then John Young Parkway to the Turnpike. Sand Lake to Central Florida Parkway and past 192 is heavy. A crash still working 434 west of Montgomery Road, but lanes blocked up in Altamont Springs. Brush fire activity in the Fort Christmas Road area. And we've got a crash on the beach line westbound right before South Orange Blossom Trail. I'm Nick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That music means it's time for Abe Katzman. Abe, where are you coming to us from tonight?
I am back in Jerusalem.
How's the weather?
I was gallivanting around a couple of other places. I was actually skiing last week. So
wait a minute, Abe. This is John Casey. There's not supposed to be any snow, according to the UN, anywhere after 2003. fill me in. Where is it snowing?
It obviously was artificial snow, right?
Well, whatever it was excellent. These were some of the best conditions I've ever skied in.
All right.
So whoever the global warming people are, whatever is going on, keep it up.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's get right down to business here. And we just have a couple of minutes in this segment yet, but obviously we'll keep you much longer in the next one. Let me just start with this one. That Israeli soldier who shot the terrorist and was put on trial for it, was sentenced. Could you fill us in on that, please?
Yeah, may carry us beyond the break, but the soldier named Elor Azaria, 19 years old, I think,
yep,
had shot there was a terror attack, and this terrorist was already wounded and no longer a threat, and Azaria shot him and killed him. He was convicted of manslaughter. He was given 18 months, an 18-month sentence. Both the military and Azaria are both appealing the sentence. You know, one says it's too hard. One says one says that it's too light. One says that there shouldn't have been a conviction at all. This is something that has actually torn the country apart. Well, that might be a little extreme. It's divided the country. There are people who feel very strongly both ways. On the one hand, he's our son. He was killing a terrorist. It's a high-stakes, high-tension environment. And it's understandable what happened. But at the same time, there are people who, you know, Israel has a very strong moral component to its military. There's the idea of purity of arms. You know, it's a real commitment to moral behavior.
All right, Abe, you were right.
And it's, yeah.
We'll pick this up. Yeah, we'll pick this up on the other side because this is important, and it got very, very little attention over here. Abe Katzman is coming to us live tonight from Jerusalem. He's usually with us on Monday nights, but he's been skiing, so we snagged him for a Wednesday night. So please stay with us. We got a whole lot more to discuss with Abe Katzman, and his website is abekatzman.com. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. When he was running for president, Donald Trump said, "I love WikiLeaks." That was after it published private and politically damaging emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. Now that WikiLeaks has revealed CIA hacking methods, White House spokesman Sean Spicer is denouncing this latest leak as one that undermines our security, our country, and our well-being. He says there's a massive, massive difference between WikiLeaks publishing stolen personal emails of a political figure and publishing files about national security tools used by the CIA. The leading trade group representing the nation's hospitals says it cannot support the House Republican health care bill in its current form. The American Hospital Association joins the American Medical Association, raising similar concerns that coverage for millions of people may be jeopardized. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 69 points, the NASDAQ rose 4, the S&P declined 5. More details at srnnews.com.
News and the latest answer traffic now.
I'm Mick Dolan with your 60-second Answer News update. Huge wildfires are still raging out in Kansas and Texas. Don't miss anything with your free Answer Orlando app. Get it in your device's app store. Firefighters here in the Central Florida area are battling a huge brush fire along Fort Christmas Road in the Bithlow and Christmas areas. About 6 homes have been alerted, but no evacuations have been ordered. A large replica championship belt for WrestleMania 33 was unveiled this morning at Lake Eola in downtown Orlando. The new belt is up for grabs in less than a month at what is being called the Super Bowl of Wrestling. The huge belt will be on display until WrestleMania 33 at Orlando's Camping World Stadium on April 2nd. And starting tonight, there'll be a change in traffic patterns at Kirkman Road and I-4 as part of the I-4 Ultimate Project. Southbound traffic on Kirkman Road will be connected to I-4 westbound off-ramp. I-4 traffic will exit on the right at Kirkman Road. Transportation leaders hope the changes will make it easier for tourists looking to exit I-4. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 at AM 660. The answer.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Still a heavy ride on I-4 both directions this afternoon. Eastbound, you're slow Osceola Parkway to 535, then heavy John Young Parkway up to 434 for 45 minutes. It's slow 417 to the bridge, too. On the westbound side, Princeton to Michigan on the brakes. John Young Parkway to the Turnpike, Sand Lake to Central Florida Parkway, and heavy past 192. Beachline heavy both directions between I-Drive and I-4. You've got a crash westbound before the South Orange Blossom Trail. Delays back to Tradeport Drive there. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Hi, everyone. This is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Laser Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversaries. Love ya.
And we love you for listening. That's right, folks. We're here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, and on a delayed basis on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart with scientist John L. Casey in the studio with us. And don't forget, he's got a brand new book out called Upheaval. You need to get a copy of it. And Abe Katzman is coming to us live from Jerusalem on the line. And we were talking about the Israeli soldier who shot to death a Palestinian terrorist who had been wounded in a terrorist attack, and he stood trial for it and was sentenced to 18 months in prison, and it's caused quite a stir in Israel. And you were explaining the strong moral component to the Israeli Defense Forces for us, Abe.
Yeah, this is something that Israel stands very proud of and very protective of, and they have disciplined an awful lot of people in the past for anything that threatens that idea of purity of arms, the most moral military possible. But that's where this comes in. This is considered a threat to that, a violation of that. And as a result, it is fairly serious. But other people, other people kind of look at this and say, hey, you know, he's a young kid. He shot a terrorist. You know, what are we, this could be any of our kids. There were military people. Often, as you can imagine, these things can get politicized pretty quickly. There were people, especially high on the chain of command, who kind of spoke out about this before all the facts were in, before the investigations were completed. Anyway, it was such a hot issue that the judge, when they were sentencing, read out the opinion from the bench for 2.5 hours. That's how long an opinion it was. It covered everything. And I think when it comes down to it, everybody feels bad for the guy. The majority of Israelis, I think, would like some kind of clemency or pardon, and do think that this was a little bit too politically charged and that the military may not have handled it as best as they could have. But at the end of the day, you know what? I've got to go. My gut tells me that as tough as this is, you've got to go with the conviction and the sentencing here. This is not something, assuming that the facts are what the court determined them to be, you can't just let this kind of thing go. You can't just pardon somebody like this. Not right away, at least.
I guess part of being the good guys is you willingly accept jeopardy to do the right thing. If you follow what I'm saying here, Abe.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, that's part of it, is that the soldier was not himself threatened. They really had neutralized this particular terrorist.
Right.
And you just, you can't do that. And yeah. The military has to hold its soldiers to account. I know they're young. I know they can, they're under a lot of pressure, but they're trained soldiers, and they've got to live up to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that the other side lies and says that Israeli soldiers commit atrocities. You don't want to give them any hint of, validity to that argument, right?
Yeah. And in fact, in the Arab press, they're already talking about how this sentence is only a slap on the wrist. And it just goes to show how cheap the lives of Palestinians are in the eyes of the Israeli military.
Yeah.
You know, it's really it takes some nerve to write things like that.
Yeah.
I don't even I don't know how they do it with a straight face.
Really, especially when the guy was committing terrorist acts. I mean, he didn't obviously put too much value on Israeli lives, right?
Exactly.
All right. Okay. It's a tragic situation, and but the best to all the family. Let's change subjects just for a moment. The bugging of Trump Tower or surveillance or whatever, is it a laughing matter over there? Is it a serious matter? How's it being viewed in Israel?
Well, I think most of the media here likes to kind of scoff at Trump in a way. I mean, when he's dealing with serious matters, with world matters, then I think they do take they take the presidency and the administration very seriously. But when it comes to kind of the back and forth with the press or the various allegations or the tweets that that the president shoots out, I think they look at this more with amusement than anything else. But I mean, the seriousness of this, if it happened, it's serious, and if it didn't happen, it's serious. You know, one way or the other here. I've got to believe that he must have known. He didn't make it up. You know, it must have been some basis for saying it.
Well, you know,
unfortunately, we don't yet know. Yeah.
Well, former Attorney General Michael Mukasey has said that his the way he worded the tweet was incorrect, but in essence, the idea he was conveying was correct. In other words,
right.
There's already enough evidence to know. Just look at the Michael Flynn thing, that somebody was listening to something, and those transcripts, as they were described in the media, certainly got passed around. And you know, maybe it wasn't the Trump Tower so much that was under surveillance as it was at some point Michael Flynn and or others associated to Donald Trump who had connections in Russia, and either knowingly or unknowingly had connections with people in the Russian government, and just got tied into it. But it's obvious that something was going on. And when the whole Flynn thing broke, I said, look, you know, somebody was listening to something, and that we need to find out who was listening to who and why. And at least now that kind of puts that out there, right?
Yeah, and, you know, everything here is it's all leaks and anonymous leaks. It's a very this whole I don't know. It's a very strange thing that's going on, and I you know we're unfortunately not in a position to fully know yet.
Correct.
Just what it is that's going on, and who knows? Maybe if you combine that with the WikiLeaks story, maybe by bugging Trump Tower, they just meant that while he was tweeting, they had turned his phone into a microphone.
That's right.
Maybe
he has a Samsung TV, right? The smart TV.
That's right.
So it's amazing. You know, we've been talking about that the last couple of days. What kind of play has that gotten over there? Are Israeli intelligence officials worried that some of their techniques are being compromised along with the CIA's?
That's a good question. I have not seen it discussed yet, and I'm not sure what to make of that. But that's got to be of, I would say, of potentially great concern. If you're making the other side aware of your capabilities, of some extremely powerful capabilities, that is not good to compromise that kind of information.
And it seems to be
the entire alliance, the entire Western world, probably
right.
Is damaged by this.
Right, I would think so. Assange says that's just 1% of what they have yet to release. You can just imagine if that's just a small part of it, the damage that could yet be done. So we'll, of course, have to wait and see on that how it plays out. But part of all this is the result of the Democrats clamoring around, making these unsubstantiated allegations that Trump had some sort of deal going with Putin and or the Russians. And there's absolutely no evidence of that. And then now James Clapper has even said that. And the implication...
Well, he tells the truth.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Except maybe to Congress, right? but the whole point is this whole kerfluffle, if you will, started over this Russian thing. And it's turned into what I'm calling a blind opposition to Russia, if you will. Whether it's just out of political, you know, self-interest or whatever, it seems that there are a lot of people out there who seem to think that Russia is the scourge of the world. Vladimir Putin is a murderer. He's killed reporters. He's killed political opponents. And we can't have anything to do with Russia. Any attempt to try to reach out to Russia is a fool's errand. What do you think's going on here? I'm not so sure that that's the right approach with Russia at this time.
No, I don't think that's the right approach. I think that there are different people with different aims here. There are people who are just hysterically opposed to President Trump, and if they are, you know, they're willing believers in conspiracy theories, and no matter how wild they get, no matter how many facts get in the way, never really destroys a good conspiracy theory. No matter how many Russian hawks President Trump puts into his cabinet, it doesn't seem to affect these people. The accusations are still there. All of them are based on anonymous leaks from the intelligence agencies. No one's in a position to corroborate any of it. It seems the aim is to, you know, would be to either stop or maybe even bring down President Trump, at least neutralize him under a heavy cloud of suspicion. But the way it looks to me is that the media is discrediting itself, the Democrats are discrediting themselves, and the more time they focus on this kind of stuff, they can scream all they want. But for one thing, there's an element of crying wolf that, you know, they've done this too many times, and even if there's something here, people may yawn and say, well, you know, there they go again. I don't see this being good for them, and I see the more they focus on this, they just clear the way for President Trump to move along his agenda and to get things passed and to get things done.
And he's marching forward with just that.
Yep.
Let's talk a minute about Iran. I got John L. Casey here in the studio, as you know, and John was in the Army, and he manned a defensive missile system. Did you not?
Correct.
And they just, Abe, they just got up and running that real sophisticated Russian defensive missile system in Iran. Is that right?
That's what Iran says. Maybe true, probably true. But Iran has been known to inflate their capabilities before. We do know that they conducted a couple of ballistic missile tests over the weekend. They also, I think there was additional harassment of a couple of U.S. naval vessels by these Iranian fast boats in the Persian Gulf.
Yep.
I'm not sure if they're trying to test this administration. But there seems to be a lot of stuff going on right now. I mean, apparently, President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu had a lengthy phone call, and both of them said they were talking about regional issues and Iran, how to handle Iran. And I think it's very important both that they spoke and that they publicized the fact that they spoke. And it, again, shows that they're on the same page. They've got a similar orientation toward Iran, and this is going to be a lot different from the way that Iran was able to play with the Obama administration.
And
but it goes beyond, yeah.
And they want the whole world to know it.
Yep. Absolutely. And now, I mean, I've got to wonder, I haven't heard anybody suggesting anything, but the UK foreign minister, Boris Johnson, was just in Israel. Netanyahu was just in Washington. Netanyahu is actually meeting Vladimir Putin tomorrow in Moscow. Supposedly, officially, it says to discuss Iran, to discuss Syria, and primarily, I mean, I can understand Israel's big concern is to prevent what they're now calling Hezbollahstan, that Hezbollah or the Iranians would be able to set up a presence on the Israeli border along the Golan Heights.
Oh, great.
So that's something that they're trying to stop. But also, General Curtis, what's his name? Scaparotti, I think, who's the head of the U.S. European Command. He's been in Israel, and he's been meeting with the chief of staff of the Israel Defense Forces, again, supposedly to look at progress on the Arrow missile system. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's more. I don't know, but I know that there seems to be an awful lot of this kind of stuff happening. That also the Israel's foreign minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has been in D.C. for the last, I think, over the last few days. He's met with the Secretary of Defense and with the Secretary of State. This kind of flurry of activity strikes me as being more than just people getting to know each other and saying hello.
Yeah.
So I haven't a clue if there's more to it, but you know, my antenna go up when I see this kind of level.
Yeah. One word comes to my mind as you were saying all that. Hallelujah. That these people are getting together and talking seriously about the problems we have in the world and how we're going to get together and solve them. I see that as very positive signs. What you just described.
I think so. I mean, I think it means that there are serious problems that have been ignored for too long, and these are serious people who are going to address them seriously.
All right. Today is No Women's Day. Did they do the same thing in Israel? You having trouble finding any ladies anywhere in the society?
Well, They seem to be out. I don't know. Maybe in Iran or Saudi Arabia, it's hard to find to be able to see any women in the street. But
right.
Here, no, it was International Women's Day, and there were certain various rather meaningless statements and op-eds in the paper about it. But it's fairly meaningless here. There was no strike. There was no International Women's Strike. As there was in America, and part of that also, I think, is that in this international women's strike is you look at what the organizers stand for. They put out a platform; it's right there on their website, and they call for, among other things, of all the problems they're dealing with as women, as everything else. What do they focus on? The so-called decolonization of Palestine. It's one of only seven issues they list as being part of the beating heart of the new feminist movement. That's what it says on the website. And they say, you know, they say we want to dismantle all walls, from prisoner walls to border walls, from Mexico to Palestine. Like what does this have to do with anything?
All right, we all gonna take baths out in the public too. Go to public baths now. No walls, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh gosh, talking about lunacy.
You know, these are the chants that you heard at the airport protests.
Right.
The supposedly spontaneous demonstrations. With the initial travel ban, that was, I think, they were saying something like from Palestine to Mexico, border walls have got to go.
Go.
Something
yes,
like that.
Yeah, they come up with these cheesy chants.
Now, one of the main organizers of this women's strike is somebody named Rasmia Odeh. She's a convicted terrorist. She's a member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and she was involved in two Jerusalem bombings. She killed two university students, wounded dozens of others, and she's actually involved now in a case in the U.S. She lied
about her her having been jailed in Israel. So by lying about it, she was able to apparently commit immigration fraud. But things move very slowly, so she's still in the U.S. and she's still doing her thing.
How do you like that? Why am I not surprised? But yep. another disappointing reality. Another disappointing reality is that these threats against Jewish centers and schools here in the United States continue. The authorities thought that they had caught the main culprit, if not the only culprit, a fellow who was upset with an ex-girlfriend, it turned out. At least that's the story they gave us. But the threats continue.
Right.
Has there ever been an anti-Semitism day? Or a no anti-Semitism? No anti-Semitism
Day. Rasmia Odeh can organize it.
Yeah, but you know it's, and this is going on in Europe too. I believe you told us before, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, there's been some bad stuff going on in Europe. But I mean, there was a case about I think a week and a half ago where there were two, obviously Jewish men. Who were attacked by a mob of Middle Eastern, non-Jewish Middle Eastern men,
right?
Who beat them, threatened to kill them, and actually sawed off the finger of one of the Jews. Like, this is really just, how much more ridiculous can this get? And nobody seems to, I don't know if it's that they don't know what to do or if they're not doing anything about it. In this case, in the U.S., I mean, this is now the sixth wave over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
The total, there are now more than 100 institutions that have been threatened with lethal attacks.
Right.
And in fact, now there have been a couple in Canada. This is on the entire U.S. Senate, all 100 senators called on President Trump to, well, the question is what they called on him to do. They called for swift action, whatever that means. I like the sentiment. I like that they're willing to stand up and say, no more of this. We're not this does not fly in the United States.
Right.
But we don't know who's doing it. We just have, there's just no idea where this is actually coming from, how widespread it is. Meaning, is it just one person who's been doing it, or is it a small network? And I think when this started, also, there was, I've got to say, a certain sense by certain, some of the organizations maybe, who leaned very far to the left, some of the Jewish organizations, that saw political advantage in this because it was something they could hang on the Trump administration.
Right.
They could say, this is what Donald Trump has unleashed.
Right.
But I think even if they had those feelings before, my sense is that they're getting really worried about what's really been unleashed. And it's not anything that came from Donald Trump.
No, no. And this was predating his presidency anyway. And, okay, well, thanks, Abe. We appreciate it. As usual, it's been very informative and educational talking to you, and a pleasure as well. So stay safe, and I'm glad you didn't break any legs while you were out on the slopes.
Skiing on that non-existent snow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, God bless you. And, of course, we're praying for you and Israel. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Abe Katzman, excellent columnist and obviously commentator. And you can find his excellent work at his excellent website. That is abekatzman.com, abekatzman.com. We took that real long, so we're going into the top of the hour break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about with Abe Casey, but it's actually John L. Casey. And so please stay with us. The American Adversaries. Once again, we're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, and on a delayed basis on the Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And wherever you are, whoever you are listening to this show, thank you so very, very much for doing so. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends without a road.
Are you ready for round two? That is hour two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I hope so, because we're ready to go. All right, we're coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. And don't forget to relax and comfort. Go over to the Winter Park Village. They will guarantee that you'll be in, put into, let's just say that your brain waves will be very, I don't know how to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Winter Park Village. All right. We got a lot more to talk about here. I got John L. Casey in the studio with me. For some of you folks out there who are new listeners to the show, John L. Casey is the author of now co-author of a second book about climate change. The first one, best-selling book called Dark Winter, How the Sun is Causing a 30-Year Cold Spell. And his more recent book he has co-authored is Upheaval, Why Catastrophic Earthquakes Will Soon Strike the United States. And we're going to talk a lot more about his book. By the way, you can get his book at the website veritensepublishing.com. That's veritensepublishing.com. And if you mention the fact that you heard about it on this show, you'll get a 10% discount on that and no shipping or handling. And he'll autograph it for you, too, as many copies as you like. That's Upheaval. You need to get this book and be educated about this stuff. And we're going to be talking about that more in this hour. But before we get into that subject, as you heard, if you were listening to our interview with John, I was going to say John L. Katzman, Abe Katzman in the first hour of the show, you heard me mention that John L. Casey was in the Army as a missions control specialist. I mean, a missile control specialist. And it was your job to shoot down incoming aircraft, right?
Roger that.
And that's what this weapon system that the Iranians have just installed is supposed to do, and it's supposed to be one of the more sophisticated weapon systems. What does that mean?
The sophistication deals with the ability to track it via sophisticated radar, launch a missile, have that missile intercept that incoming hostile rocket or missile from another country. And there are many things that have to happen right to make that happen. The new system that we're deploying in Korea is called the THAAD system, T-H-A-A-D, stands for Terminal High Altitude Air Defense System. And basically, it's a very sophisticated, very capable system designed to intercept missiles coming in on reentry and intercept them and kill them. Not only does it do so, but it's using kinetic technology. Now, what that means is instead of exploding nearby and allowing shrapnel to destroy the incoming missile, this one actually hits it head on. Now, you can imagine a missile going at thousands of miles an hour hitting another missile going at thousands of miles an
hour. Each one of them going faster.
Hitting it head on. That's an incredible technology achievement, but we can do that now.
Right. Now, that's an anti-missile system.
That's correct.
What the Iranians have installed is an anti-aircraft system, is it not?
Right, and bringing in the Russians' leading-edge technology there, too. Now, the air defense capability of the Russians, I believe, is certainly not as good as ours, but it's adequate enough to be a real deterrent. What that does, in the case of an attacking force, it requires you to use the best technology, the best flight dynamics and flight profiles to evade the radar and evade the missiles. And then it also forces you to increase the number of attack vehicles that you've got going in.
To overwhelm the defensive
capability. That's right, by mass. It's one of the principles of warfare. But unfortunately, that also leads to lots of casualties when you use that approach. The threat, however, is very real. We don't want the Iranians to defend nuclear weapons or launch sites. And, of course, one of the big objections to the Iranian missile tests is they do violate a lot of the provisions of treaties they've signed, including the most recent one with Obama and Senator Kerry. But, of course, they try to find a loophole or ignore the treaty altogether when it fits their purpose.
The missile technology that North Korea and Iran possess now, how advanced is that, say, in comparison to our own?
Well, I would say it's probably a generation behind, but that's still pretty dangerous, very capable. If you look at the capability we have, we do what we can to enable our allies to defend themselves. For example, the THAAD system is not only being deployed in Korea, but we're actually deploying it in Arab countries to defend themselves against Iranian attack. A lot of people don't know that. It's not just a case of where we're defending Israel by letting them have their system. By the way, they have their own very capable
Iron Dome
system,
right. Yeah.
Which has been proven to be very superior to most systems out there for missile defense.
So we're providing missile defense systems to
Friendly Arab nations.
To Arab, the
same Arab ones we're deploying now in Korea to defend South Korea against North Korea, we are deploying and have already deployed to other Arab countries.
By the way, speaking of deploying, we just saw a special report during the break on Fox that Marines are going to be deployed to Syria in the fight against the Islamic State. So we're going to be ramping up our boots-on-the-ground operations. And by the way, Colonel Danny McKnight's going to be in on the show tomorrow night, so we'll be talking about that with him in a little bit more in-depth fashion. But I want to take advantage of John Casey's expertise here. The North Koreans seem to be putting a lot of, let's just say they put a lot of resources, obviously, in their military, but they're also putting a lot of resources into their nuclear and missile technologies.
Absolutely, including not only developing smaller packages of nuclear devices to put on smaller missiles.
Right.
Or MIRV them. Hopefully they'll never get to the MIRV stage.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask. Is this
right effort? Now it's just one nuke on one missile.
Right.
Multiple independently targeted vehicles, re-entry vehicles.
Right.
The MIRVs, that's very sophisticated technology. They're not there yet, fortunately. But on the other hand, it doesn't take one nuke on one missile to do a lot of damage, and that's the threat we have from Korea to Japan, to South Korea, and possibly even to the Hawaiian Islands.
There's sort of three elements to a nuclear missile, nuclear-armed missile. You got the warhead or warheads. You got the rocket, the missile itself. But you also have to have a sophisticated guidance system.
That's correct.
Do they have that yet?
No. Not beyond the limited range. For example, they shook up a lot of people this week. They fired four missiles out of five. The fifth one failed, but they fired four missiles from the Tongchenri launch site, which is on the west coast of Korea, went 620 miles back over North Korea and landed in the Japanese economic waters. Japan has not come on.
On the other side of the peninsula.
On the other side and very close to Japan, 620 miles.
Do you think they just launched it and it went the wrong way, or were they purposely doing that?
No, they were purposely.
They were purposely. They were sending the message, obviously.
Now, the problem with North Korea is not only are they posing a threat to their immediate neighbors and to us, we've got 28,500 soldiers there in Korea.
Right.
But they're also selling their technology to Iran. Now, that's a big, big problem. And unfortunately, behind all of this, we have China, who is basically enabling North Korea to be the bad boy that they are. They recently came out and said they're going to cut off coal shipments and therefore cut off the money, the primary source of money to that funds the military in North Korea. But that's actually not quite accurate. The truth is that they've already received all the coal they get annually anyway from North Korea. So North Korea has already been paid all the money they typically get in a year from China. And in fact, it's 14% more than it was last year. So China hasn't pulled the plug at all on Korea funding out of their coal.
Okay. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation with John L. Casey, and we're going to talk more about his book, Upheaval. And we invite you to join the conversation at 407-774-8255. You are listening to The American Adversaries. Don't forget, check out our Facebook page. Put a whole bunch of stuff up there, brand new today. Kathy Santomassino was hard at work, and we'd love you to double check us. Check us in the morning. Check us in the evening. And, of course, you can leave posts there as well. And we invite you to like us if you do. All right, that's American Adversaries on Facebook and American Adversaries on the radio after this short break.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy. along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
The Trump Travel Ban 2.0 is out. Kellyanne updates us.
Illegal permanent residents were always excluded from it, but that's made much more clear now. If you have travel docs, if you actually have a visa, if you're a legal permanent resident, you are not covered. Also, Iraq is no longer on the list based on their enhanced screening and reporting measures. Also, Syrian refugees are treated the way all refugees are.
This one will slowly roll out, too. But no matter which direction this one goes, you know we'll always be here to bring you the latest, the truth. President Donald Trump's first 100 days. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And online at AM660TheAnswer.com.
That's what the women are out there marching around singing today. They hate themselves for loving us men, right? I don't know if I got that right anyway, but Women's Day is today, and of course there's going to be more gatherings, I assume, tonight. So advice to you men out there, stay out of their way. Let them have their day.
Women's Day is every day in my family.
There you go. That's
celebrate your wife, your daughters, your mother, whatever. Just celebrate them every day.
That's the way it should be. Absolutely. Amen to that, brother. All right, John L. Casey is with us. And by the way, his website is veritensepublishing.net, where you can get his book, Upheaval. And I'm sorry, that's .com, veritensepublishing.com. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. One more question about this missile stuff. Where does China stand right now with their missile technology? And do they have a missile that is capable of destroying our naval vessels, in particular aircraft carriers?
Short answer is yes. We should assume at this point that China has those capabilities born out of their military and more recently out of their space program, which is quite advanced. The plans that China has along those lines include going back to the moon before we will.
Yep. Within a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken.
Fairly quick. And I think that's probably why NASA's encouraging private companies like SpaceX from Elon Musk company or Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin's company, to do the same, because it doesn't look like NASA's on that path right now. It looks like NASA wants to go straight to Mars, and they've asked private companies to do that too. What we're seeing is a struggling NASA trying to play catch-up after 8 years of lack of support during the Obama administration. That's allowed Russia, it's allowed China, and other countries to move forward where we've been sitting on our hands.
Well, I mean, we did have to get NASA to cozy up to the, who was it, Iran or the Arabs or whatever, or the Muslims or whatever.
Right. That's NASA Administrator Charlie Bolden was asked by the president to reach out to the Arabs in the space program community.
Right. And in the meantime, we fall behind in the space community because we didn't focus on space.
And we shut down the shuttle program with no replacement. We just shut it down. And that's always bad news when you're trying to stay ahead of everyone else, technologically speaking. You should always have a replacement for what you're shutting down.
And that space coast over there is just now really beginning to recover. That's as right. The commercial operations ramp up. They're building facilities over there and hiring people, which is a great thing. And are you one of the two, evidently, who have signed up to take that first SpaceX mission to the moon?
No, I would love to have the money to sign up.
And then you would spend it on something else, I assume.
Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah. How realistic is that?
Well, my hat goes off to Elon Musk. Put aside the fact he's been getting lots of subsidies from our government.
Yeah, for
he
Tesla.
He has achieved things that other people said were impossible. And he has done things in the face of very stiff competition from the big guys in aerospace. He's beat out Boeing and my alma mater, Lockheed Martin, and others doing things that he was told he couldn't or shouldn't do. Now, I've been in that bucket a long time where I've been told you can't predict climate change. You shouldn't even try. Same thing with earthquakes,
right?
With our earthquake research company. So my hat's off to him for doing it in spite of being told he couldn't do it.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. But the Chinese are very serious. And by the way, wasn't it during the Clinton administration where we gave them a bunch of guidance technology?
Absolutely. And quite frankly, even before that, we gave a lot of satellite technology. This was back in the Bush era. So it's come back to haunt us.
Man, what were these guys thinking?
They weren't thinking ahead.
Evidently not. That's for sure. By the way, China has issued a warning over the Korean Peninsula. They see tensions escalating there, and they are getting, more and more involved. They're wanting a suspension of United States and South Korea military drills.
Now, the U.S. and South Korea do this every spring. This is normal stuff.
Right.
But it's happened right after these confrontations over missile launches. China is in no position whatsoever to say that the U.S. and South Korea are escalating tensions. All this is coming from North Korea.
Okay. All right. Once again, John is the co-author of the book Upheaval, and you can get it at VeritensePublishing.com. You spell Veritens, V, that's it, like it's in very, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E, publishing.com, VeritensePublishing.com. Once again, mention that you heard about it on this radio show. You'll get a 10% discount, and you will not have to pay shipping or handling. And John will autograph these books for you. And it's an extensive study of what happens when the Earth enters into a cooling period, which we are seeing more and more evidence of us doing just that. So we'll be talking about that when we come back with John L. Casey. Once again, VeritensPublishing.com. Get this book and get educated and get some for others in your family, because the government's not preparing for this, so you got to prepare for yourself. All right, Upheaval, VeritensPublishing.com, The American Adversaries, the voice to be reckoned with, titans of talk radio. We're here, we're live, and we'll be back after this short break. And don't forget, please like us on Facebook and visit our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you too can become a member of the American Adversaries Army. Just find the recruiting office and you can sign up right there, and we'll be right back.
New York, Los Angeles, oh, how I yearn for you.
FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The leaders of a congressional inquiry into Russia's efforts to sway the U.S. election have called on the Justice Department to produce any evidence that supports President Trump's explosive wiretapping allegation. Mr. Trump tweeted that former President Barack Obama had tapped his phones at Trump Tower during the campaign. Senator Lindsey Graham says Congress must get to the bottom of the claim. He's called for the FBI and the Deputy Attorney General to produce any evidence for a warrant needed for wiretaps. President Trump's former national security advisor has registered as a foreign agent with the Justice Department for $530,000 worth of lobbying work that may have aided the Turkish government. Michael Flynn was fired from his prominent White House job last month over misleading comments about his communications with Russia's ambassador. A Flynn lawyer says his client voluntarily registered for lobbying that could be construed to have principally benefited the Republic of Turkey.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama
cruises from $218 per person? Or how about an Alaska 7-night cruise starting at $799 per person? Or a Caribbean 7-night cruise starting as low as $499 per person? Sandals and Beaches Resorts are offering specials up to 65% off. Iceland is a hot destination in 2017. How about a 5-day vacation starting at $1,529 per person? Join me for our spring Come Sail Away With Me cruise on the Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas, starting at $860 per person. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
The first 100 days of the Trump administration is a new beginning for America, and it could be a new beginning for you in your pursuit of the American dream. Hi, I'm John Siebert, president and co-founder of Patriot Home Funding. Co-founder Pierce Outlaw and I are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and we both have over 30 years' experience as mortgage industry leaders, making the American dream for many families a reality here in Central Florida. The IRS started accepting tax returns on January 20th, and refunds are going out now. You may be able to buy a home with your tax refund and close within the historic first 100 days. Call Patriot Home Funding now at 877-377-8123 to learn how you can achieve the American dream. At Patriot Home Funding, we say yes when the banks say no. Give us a call at 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida. NMLS number 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
This is about the Obama administration's spying.
The first 100 days.
President Trump accuses the Obama administration of wiretapping Trump Tower.
No, the president is actually lying.
At this point, you can't confirm or deny whether that exists.
I can deny it.
For that before.
Two separate sources with links to the counterintelligence community have confirmed that the FBI sought and was granted a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. This is spying.
Breaking news every moment.
Where this one's going, we don't know. But we'll wind through the details and bring you the latest and keep you up to date. We won't let you down. FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing
countdowns, engines on. I was going to say motors on. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where we talk space travel and all kinds of stuff around here. You got the American Adversaries live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, we have John L. Casey in the studio with us today, and he's a regular on the show. He's back on a regular basis now after having co-authored this book, Upheaval, which once again, please go to veritensepublishing.com to get this book. Mention you heard about it on this radio show. You'll get a discount and no shipping or handling. And you spell Veritense, V as in very good, Veritense, V-E-R-I-T-E-N-C-E, publishing.com. Before we get to the phone lines, we have somebody on the line. John, the LA Times just published an article predicting a severe earthquake in or around Los Angeles. And, of course, you've been predicting earthquakes, severe earthquakes around the world. And so I take it it's no surprise for you to have seen that article. What did you think about it?
Well, I was pleased, of course. We're finally getting the USGS to stand up and be accounted for.
USGS being United States Geological...
U.S. Geological Survey, which is the preeminent geophysical science agency in our government.
They're the ones who monitor the seismographs and things.
That's right.
Right.
It's one of the things they do. They recently published a study headed by Dr. Kate Scherer, and it reinforces what we said in upheaval in spades. It's really saying the same thing we are saying. They don't come up with the rationale for why.
I was just getting ready to ask that, yeah.
We do. We really specify exactly what is driving these quakes. All they do is reference what appears to be a 100-year pattern. Of course, we go back and show that pattern has been around a long time. They've spent a lot of money and years coming up with the conclusion that the L.A. Basin, the San Andreas, especially the full length of it, is ripe for a catastrophic earthquake of magnitude 7.5 or greater. Now, bear in mind...
That'll be severe.
Oh, devastating. Absolutely devastating. We're talking about a lot of lives lost, destruction of the grid, buildings coming down, fires from broken gas lines and water mains breaking and shutting off water to a large section of the community in the L.A. area or San Francisco, wherever this happens.
Right.
The study focused mostly on the length of the San Andreas, but the article in the L.A. Times also quoted Dr. Thomas Jordan, probably the top geologist in the country and certainly someone who knows a great deal about the San Andreas Fault. He has already said that San Andreas is locked, loaded, and ready to roll, meaning that this catastrophic big one, as they call it in California, could strike at any time. In our book, Upheaval, we go through several layers and levels of analysis to show why these things are happening now or about to happen now. We indicate that between 2017 and 2038, the U.S. will see a flood, rather a roll of multiple catastrophic earthquakes, because it happens every 200 years or so. We've identified the faults. We've identified the earthquake cycles over time, and we've found energy flows within the Earth's crust that show us specifically when these energy flows are going to break through in the form of catastrophic quakes, both in California and the New Madrid Zone in the center of the U.S.,
right,
in South Carolina, in Puerto Rico.
Right.
We really go into a lot of depth in the book, and it's a no-nonsense book. It says the United States is going to see its worst geophysical disasters since our country was founded.
And these coincide with the cooling period.
And that's another amazing finding. We knew from Dark Winter and the research done on that book that our worst earthquakes and worst volcanic eruptions globally occurred during these cold cycles, these cold climates that the sun causes, again, every 100 years,
on a regular,
200 years on a regular basis.
Cyclical, right.
What we found in upheaval was that the correlation between our catastrophic earthquakes and these solar cycles was far stronger than even we anticipated. It was truly shocking what we found and how reliable these earthquake cycles are and how strongly correlated they are with the sun's cold climates.
Earlier you mentioned on the show that the Carolinas should expect some snow before this winter is over.
Yes.
And that then you told me something during the break that coincides with...
Well, exactly. I was observing Weather Channel, as I often do, because they cover not only weather patterns, but they sometimes will report earthquake activity. But the Weather Channel, unfortunately, has gone very left of center in their telecast. They're very biased in how they cover the weather. Going back to the days of Dr. Heidi Cullen, who finally had to leave the program because she was so
way out there
right, on man-made global warming as the cause of climate change.
Which it has nothing to do with.
Right. Little or nothing. CO2 and mankind's greenhouse gas emissions have little or nothing to do with climate change.
Right.
I've said that for 10 years. It's still surprising and disappointing to me that I have to continue to say that. But that's what the science says, not what I'm saying. So
So but back to the Carolinas.
Go back to Carolinas. There are three storms, I think, that are lined up now that the Weather Channel's following, and they're talking about very cold weather hitting the southeast, especially Atlanta, and snow hitting the Carolinas. And they actually put up a chart that showed when past snows had occurred, record snows in the Carolinas at this time of the year.
Right.
And their lead-in was, well, there's no need to be concerned. It's happened before. But then when they put the chart up, when did it happen before? It happens every time you have a solar minimum and a solar cold climate descending on it.
So it's another indicator to you.
Another indicator that your new cold climate is coming, that our predictions and my predictions in dark winter are happening.
And if your predictions in dark winter are happening, that's going to lead to the predictions in upheaval happening.
Exactly, exactly. And we add to that climate connection the historical cycles. We add to that the energy migration or transmigration, it's called, within the Earth's crust. And we track this, and we show specifically year after year how these energy cycles of earthquakes are heading to a certain latitude, and that tells us whether it's going to hit California, New Madrid, South Carolina, or wherever.
You know, most of you folks out there probably know this, but the Earth's crust is only on an average about 12 miles thick. And under that, it's molten. It's you know, a lot of churning going on down there.
Right. The mantle in the crust is not as thick as a lot of people would believe. But if you live near a subduction zone or a volcanic region, you might appreciate that on a regular basis, but most people don't. We looked in upheaval at Hawaii, for example. We thought, okay, we said we're going to look at every state. We did look at every state. And what we found in Hawaii was something we didn't expect to find.
Which was
because Hawaii is really a volcano.
Right.
And the islands were created from volcanic activity. It doesn't have the same profile of earthquake history as the rest of the United States. It's opposite.
So bad news for us is good news for them?
You might say that, but the bad news is so bad for what we're facing for the U.S., it's really going to affect every state.
Okay. Frank is on the line. He has some questions for you, John L. Casey. Frank, thank you for calling. And your questions, please.
Thank you, and I always enjoy when you're on the show, Mr. Casey.
Thank you, Frank. Good to have you with us tonight.
Wanted to say real quick, today wasn't Women's Day, it was No Women's Day. Right? I thought finally the left had a good idea.
I'm not going anywhere
well
near
done.
That, okay?
Well done.
So, Chris, you kind of stole a couple of my questions because I was going to ask about the Chinese and in particular how much Clinton and Boral Corp and all that helped them along, you know?
Right.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say real quick to anybody that's listening, you hear a lot about the spies, the court, and warrants, and what they're allowed to spy on. Just listen to me. Every phone call, every email is being recorded, and not just metadata. It's all being recorded, all the content, all of it, okay?
Yeah.
Get that through your head, all right?
Yeah. We talked about that Sunday and then yesterday and the day before a little bit, but you're absolutely right. Once it's put into the digital stream, it's caught up in the web, you might say.
Yes, blow all the smoke away. There it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I guess my question is, the earthquake, do we know where all the fault lines are, or are there unknown fault lines that we don't know about? And can you take some comfort if you're not near a fault line, or what's the story?
Good question.
A very good question, Frank. The short answer is yes. We've got a pretty good idea where the major faults are. What we don't know is where the indirect faults are, or the minor faults. The reason I bring that up especially is because we found out through the fracking process out in Oklahoma that injecting waste well water back into the ground can activate old faults that we're not aware of.
These would be faults fairly close to the surface.
That's correct. They're all shallow faults.
Yeah.
And what we do know is that in Oklahoma, for example, when we began fracking, we started to see more quakes over the years. And when we stopped fracking, we see a decline in quakes. So it's pretty much a one-to-one relationship. But as far as California, the New Madrid, South Carolina, and other areas, the subduction zone along the northwest coast. We know those very well. What we know and what the new studies that have come out are also very revealing that we've reported on in upheaval. It shows how very strong the correlation is with the sun and these quake cycles and energy transmigrations within the crust. And when you put all of that knowledge together, both private government from the U.S. Geological Survey and ours, you come up with a pretty good picture of what the future is going to be like here in the U.S. with these catastrophic
quakes. Is Florida going to become like a huge sinkhole?
Well, sinkholes, fortunately, are not dynamic like earthquake faults. Okay, we don't have an earthquake problem here.
How safe is it to be in Florida, I guess, is my main worry.
Probably one of the safest places in the continental
very
United
much
States.
So, both for the cold climate and the earthquake issue, Florida is the place to be.
There you
if
go.
I had money, I'd be buying Florida real estate.
There you go. All right.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. God bless you, man. Before we go to a break, I want to remind you this is Wednesday night, so that means at 9 o'clock right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer will be the fabulous show WDW News Tonight, co-hosted by one Nick Lo Cicero. What's going to happen tonight, Nick?
Well, we will be playing a version of, Disney version, of course, of the game Jeopardy, which will be a lot of fun. We'll have some contestants play that live on the radio show, and you can watch as well. So we have the whole Jeopardy board and everything.
Look out.
So if you want to watch the that version and listen, you could go to WDWNT.com.
You're not infringing on any proprietary rights here.
Who knows? Right? I don't know.
The station you'll find out when the lawyer calls.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Salem will pay my fines.
That's what I love about live radio. You never know what you're going to get. Right?
Cornac the Magnificent. Well, speaking of copyright infringements.
Yeah.
Cornac the Magnificent will stop by to hopefully predict the future. Look a little bit ahead here.
All right.
We also will be talking about the rumored gondola system that Disney World might be putting in to take guests to and from some of the resorts and parks.
All right. So that's tonight, 9 o'clock, WDW News Tonight, and your website?
WDWNT.com.
All right. Thank you, Nick. All right. We got another segment to go on our show. Alfred is up next on the phone lines, and we got John L. Casey in the studio. Upheaval is his most recent book. You can also get Dark Winter at VeritasPublishing.com. Both books, excellent research went into these books, and yet they're for anybody. You don't have to be a scientist to read these books and get it, okay? Even though scientists did the work. VeritasPublishing.com, VeritasePublishing.com, Publishing.com. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, spring is already upon us, and that means wedding bells are ringing. It also means a lot of you are either planning a wedding or know someone who is. And as you know, this can be an agonizing and tense-filled experience. Unless you have someone on your planning team who can help you make that day as special as it can possibly be. Dino Rento Studios is that playmaker. They have wedding planners that can help you as much or as little as you need. They also have decorations like table centerpieces, or arches, or columns, Mr. and Mrs. Table, or whatever it will take to make that day special, all at affordable prices. So don't stress it. Call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089. They are located just off North John Young Parkway, but you can reach them at 800-704-7089 or visit them at DinoRentoStudios.com. That's Dino Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com.
Are you tired of the same old programming coming on TV all the time? Ready for something that's positive, celebrates America, and is fun to watch? This is Scott from My Liberty Threads. You've been hearing me talk about my t-shirts for the last several years. Hopefully some of you guys even have a few. What I wanted to talk to you guys about today is this new TV show we're going to film this summer. We're going to have 10 people all across the country selling our shirts at fairs and festivals everywhere. We're going to combine a little bit of light competition along with American capitalism, and we're going to call it the Great American T-Shirt Challenge, and we're going to tell the story of America. All we need is a little bit of help getting getting this project off the ground. You can go to our Kickstarter account at kickstarter.com to the page Great American T-Shirt Challenge, or you can contact me directly to partner up on this venture at 407-729-9821. Thanks a lot, and remember to buy American. The next job you save might be your own.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
The president being presidential.
I am sending Congress a budget that rebuilds the military.
He has told countless lies to the American people.
The left still doesn't get it.
Tonight I am also calling on this Congress to repeal and replace Obamacare.
He hasn't had a proposal on jobs, on infrastructure.
Maybe the left will join in when they decide that they want to help make America great again, too. Your Trump Connection. With updates top and bottom of every hour. Central Florida's answer for the latest from the White House. Don't miss a minute. FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Thoughts that flash in the calm that cast long shadows of doubt.
Of course, that's the theme music to the movie 13 Hours. Please see it if you have not. Get the DVD. It's been out for a while now. It reminds me that tomorrow night is contest night, and McBass come up with another doozy. He wants you to come up with the background for a portrait for someone. I'll give you my example. My background for a portrait of Barack Obama would be thus. Over his head, halo style, would be a globe, the Earth, on fire. To one side of him would be Americans clearly at odds with one another, at each other's throats, if you will. On the other side would be four graves with the names Woods, Stevens, Smith, and Doherty on them. Come up with a portrait background for tomorrow night's contest. I got a quick question for John, and then Alfred is on the line with some questions as well. John L. Casey, California has been inundated with rain this spring. Fortunately, it's probably going to keep coming, but they are a case study. I think the Wall Street Journal did an article yesterday, a case study in how they squandered their time during the drought when they could have been preparing for the day the rains would come back. But of course, they were saying the rains were never going to come back.
That's correct. All man-made global warming causing droughts that would never end in California. And now what happened? It's over. Within the last month or so, we've had record rainfalls, record snowfalls. Now, there's going to be plenty of spring water and summer water. And what's happened, unfortunately, as you pointed out, since Jerry Brown was first governor in the 70s, they've not created or built one new state dam. And again, what they found out is all the water that has been deluging the state is flooding off into the ocean and not reaching reservoirs and dams that should have been built, but weren't. In fact, one of the examples that article in the Wall Street Journal shows was that the water that was released from just the Orville Dam was enough water to sustain 14 million people for a full year, and yet that water was lost.
Went into the ocean. All right. Alfred, you're up next, and we're short on time, so please get right to your questions for John L. Casey.
Yes, the question is regarding this missile defense. Is this related or something like Star Wars from the 1980s?
Good question.
Outstanding question. A lot of people...
We got smart listeners.
Lost. Oh, they do. You got a great listener.
Keep us on our toes.
The Star Wars program was initiated by President Reagan. It was a deterrence and, in fact, a motivating program to get the Soviet Union under Gorbachev to come to the negotiating table. Star Wars was supposed to create new technology that was so advanced that the Russians would be overwhelmed, both financially and technologically, in trying to come up with a defense to it. A lot of it was hype. A lot of it was real research, and a lot of that real research was continued where it was shown to be viable and feasible. And I'm pleased to say you're right that, yes, some of that we still have. I was heading up a program, for example, that was motivated by that program. Our company developed a system to launch nuclear waste into the sun. So a lot of things came out of that.
Let me ask a bit more specifically. Do we have the Star Wars technology, and is that THAAD missile defense system a part of it?
The THAAD is an outgrowth of the Pershing II program that Reagan initiated and threatened with Gorbachev that he, if he didn't come to the bargaining table, we would deploy the Pershing II missile. And that was built right here in Orlando at Martin Marietta's plant.
But that's not what people envisioned when they heard the Star Wars. They were
thinking laser
beams and things like that.
Right.
Are we working on such technologies?
Yes. In fact, we did develop laser weapons to shoot down missiles, and it was tested and shown to be viable. We launched aircraft with large technology lasers, and they went up and shot down test missiles. So it was, in fact, proven that we could do that. However, the cost would have been tremendous to deploy the fleets of aircraft with airborne lasers.
Is it safe to say that the research was cut way back during the Obama administration?
Oh, to say the least.
And would it be viable to put money back into that program?
Yes, on a selective basis. Again, you want to target the money where early research shows the most promise.
Okay. Target your money to veritensepublishing.com and get the book Upheaval. By the way, every fourth person who buys that book Upheaval via radio is going to get it free.
Via this station's radio. You heard it here.
On the American Adversaries, okay? And if you're that fourth purchaser, you'll get the book free. So purchase four. And you'll get one free, right?
Absolutely.
All right. That's all at veritensepublishing.com. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night with Colonel Danny McKnight and Mike McBath and Contest Night. And don't forget, Jeopardy, WDW News Tonight style, right here, these same stations at 9 o'clock. And for you folks who have been listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, you need to get these books, Dark Winter, Upheaval, both at veritensepublishing.com. Night, everybody.